Good morning. Good morning. Will you turn to Genesis chapter 32, please? Genesis chapter 32. Wrestling with God. That's what this is about. Jacob wrestled with God. This short story about Jacob wrestling with God leaves us wondering about quite a few things. So we'll just pay attention to what it does say. And not get too worked up about the questions we like answered that it does not answer. But just to pay attention to what it says, because it's an important story for all of us. See, we have struggles. We fight against things. We fight against these things just to survive. Sometimes it feels like the things we struggle with will destroy us. But they never quite do, or at least they haven't yet. They cripple us, and that we know. These things limit us. They hold us back. And it can be quite discouraging. It's often very discouraging. We pray to God many times for help. And sometimes there's great help, but quite often the relief that we want does not happen. Jacob wrestled all night with someone he does not know. So this story gives us another way to look at those long nights where this thing never quite defeats us totally, and we never quite defeat it. Jacob's fear. Jacob is in a situation that terrifies him. Jacob left home 20 years earlier, running for his life. He had stolen his brother Esau's blessing. And Esau was so angry that he said he would kill Jacob, and he meant it. And so Jacob ran away from home, and he ended up far away working for Laban. And he married two of Laban's daughters, Leah and Rachel. But now, after some 20 years, the Lord tells Jacob to go back home. And the Lord promises to be with him. But Jacob fears Esau. And as Jacob travels home, he sends messengers ahead to bring peace gifts to Esau. But when his messengers come back, they just say, "Esau is coming with 400 men to meet you." Oh, it doesn't sound good. And Jacob is very afraid. So the day before Jacob met Esau, he gets all his flocks and his herds and his family across the Jabbok River. Gets them across the river, and then he goes back to the first side of the river to spend the night by himself. We don't know why. Jacob's fight. Now we're in Genesis 32, verses 24 to 32. Genesis 32, 24 to 32. A man wrestled with Jacob all that night until daybreak. We have no more details than that. That's all Jacob knows. We should assume Jacob is fighting for his life. A stranger comes after you at night. There's nothing friendly about this. To Jacob, this is hostile. Keep that in mind. The man could not overpower Jacob. He could not get the upper hand. And when the man saw that, he touched Jacob's hip to wound him. He dislocated Jacob's hip. And it sounds like all he did was touch the hip. Could that mean there's something supernatural about this man? And then the man says, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." So Jacob, he hurts. He's partly crippled, but he's not letting go. And the man wants to quit. He wants to give up and leave. But Jacob won't let him go. "I will not let you go until you bless me," says Jacob. Well, Jacob fought for blessing all his life, and he wants a blessing here. But why does he ask his opponent for a blessing? We don't really know. The man asked, "What is your name?" Could this man not know who Jacob is? We don't know that either. Jacob says his name. "Jacob. I'm Jacob." Jacob means someone who deceives, someone who takes advantage of others. When Esau, back 20 years, found out that Jacob had stolen his blessing, Esau said, "He is rightly named Jacob. He has done this to me two times." When Jacob gives the man his name, it's like a confession. "I'm a deceiver. I take advantage of people. Jacob cannot give his name without confessing his sins. And the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and people and have overcome. And then the man blessed him. So Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. Jacob said, it is because I saw the face of God, and yet my life was spared. And from then on, Jacob limped from the injury to his hip. So we find out at the end of the story that Jacob was actually wrestling and struggling to survive all night with some form of God himself. Jacob was wrestling with God, but he didn't know that until later. And God gave him his wound, but he didn't know that until later. Could this be you? Could this be you? God was wrestling with Jacob, and God could not overpower Jacob, and God could not get the upper hand. How can that be? What's going on? Then God touched Jacob to wound him. And God gave Jacob a new name, and God blessed him. But the wound was still there. Let's go back to verse 28. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and people and have overcome. Israel actually means God struggles. God struggled with Jacob, and Jacob struggled with God. So God struggled with Jacob, and it seems that God let Jacob get the upper hand. God let Jacob get the upper hand. God let Jacob back him into a corner so that God had to bless Jacob. God and Jacob struggled with each other, Jacob not knowing it was God, and God let Jacob trap him, wouldn't let go, so that God had to bless Jacob. In what sense did Jacob overcome God? Only this. Jacob would not let go of God until God blessed him. He overcame God by not letting go of God until God blessed him. Try this on. God fights with us in such a way that we overpower him and he has to bless us. God fights with us in such a way that we overpower him and he has to bless us. Let's talk about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, don't lead us into temptation. Don't lead us into testing. Deliver us. Rescue us. But the Holy Spirit did lead Jesus into severe testing and temptation. And sometimes he does that to us too. The tempter wants us to sin. He hopes we will sin. The tempter makes sin as attractive as possible. And the tempter is very good at that. God does not want us to sin. He helps us not sin, but he sometimes leads us into testing and temptation, and then he helps us through it. God did this for his son. There are other biblical stories of wrestling with God. The Old Testament is full of this. When Israel has troubles, they come from God. When Israel gets rescued and restored, that also comes from God. And we say, yes, but that's because they sinned, which is often true. But there were always righteous people caught up in this. Job was a righteous man, and he always assumed his troubles came from God. And he told God so, and he was right. And Job told God he was not being fair by doing this to him, and God disagreed with none of that. Job always knew that God was making Job's life hard, and God took his time bringing Job out of it. Job did not know why, but he knew he was wrestling with God, and he was right. There are several psalms where God is the problem as well as the solution. Psalm 88 begins, Lord, you are the God who saves me. Well, that's the right way to talk. But later that psalm says, Lord, you have put me in the lowest pit. Lord, you have overwhelmed me with all your waves. Lord, you took from me my closest friends. The God who saves him also puts him in the lowest pit, and not because of sin. I found 6 different psalms where God caused the trouble, and at the same time God was the only one who could save. 44, 74, 79, 80, 88, 89, you don't care, you can find these, look them up later if you want. All of these people were wrestling with God, yet they were not conquered by God. They were wounded, as Jacob was, yet they would not let go of God. Here's how John Calvin put it, writing on Jacob wrestling with God. I don't read John Calvin on these things, but the Old Testament commentary I read quoted from Calvin, and he liked it, and so do I. God challenges us to this contest, and at the same time, God gives us the ability to resist him. God fights against us and for us at the same time. God fights against us with his weaker left hand, says Calvin, and he fights for us with his stronger right hand. And even while he likely opposes us, he supplies invincible strength so we can overcome. In what way did Jacob overcome? He would not let go until God blessed him. We do not feel invincible. Far from it. We feel we're being destroyed. We're on the brink of destruction. But we do hang on because we want his blessing and because he makes sure. He makes sure we can hang on because he wants to give us his blessing. Here's how to insult God. Here's how to insult God. You treat him as if he's not a part of your troubles. It's just you suffering from your weaknesses, your own dislocated hip. It's just you and those bad people. It's just you and your bad luck, you and this evil world, you and your inability to get your life together. But there's no chance God is bringing this to you. Okay? That insults God. And that's thinking like an atheist because you're on life stage and God is not on that life stage. It's just you and your misfortune. Let's not do that to God. I was squeamish about this for a long time, but I was wrong. I did not think the Lord was a God who overwhelmed people with all his waves. But according to the Bible, he is that God. The believers who got the letter to the Hebrews were being persecuted. The writer tells them in Hebrews 12 that the persecution is the discipline of the Lord. The Lord is treating you as children he loves, so endure this as coming from a wise and loving Father. Talking about persecution, Peter also wrote to believers who were being persecuted and says the same. How should they respond? Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, says Peter. God opposes the proud. God favors the humble. Commit yourselves to your faithful Creator, says Peter, and continue to do good. So God has never stirred up persecution against his people, of course, but he takes responsibility, says the Bible. We don't enjoy it, but he's a wise and loving father who treasures his children. John Calvin said that Jacob's wrestling with God is daily fulfilled in the individual members of the church, that in our temptations it is necessary for us to wrestle against God. So Calvin assumed, and I'm certain he is right on this, that this is a common, what we're talking about here is a common experience for individual members of the church. So, what if God is wrestling with you like this? What if God has brought these things into your life? And what if God, in a sense, is working against you, while at the same time making you invincible, so that you won't let go of him until you get his blessing? Jacob was told, you have struggled with God and people and have overcome. Okay? Jacob would not let go until he got blessed, and God loved that. God said, you defeated me, Jacob. You forced me to bless you. And that's exactly how God wanted that long night to end. So Jacob got blessed after God wounded him, but his wound did not go away. He was still wounded and limping, and also blessed. Somehow, God wants us to see Him behind the problem. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, so He may lift you up in due time. Commit yourselves to your faithful Creator, and continue to do good. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, this calls for a lot of faith. We have trouble seeing You behind these painful things. We have trouble seeing that You Yourself led us into this. On the other hand, we don't want to insult You by talking as if You were not the sovereign ruler of the universe and of our lives. So strengthen our faith, Father. Father, we put ourselves into Your hands. Our bodies and our souls, we put them into Your hands. We commit ourselves to our faithful Creator. Send Your Spirit so we can continue to do good. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip us with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what pleases Him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.